We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Part two of today's show is going to look at the Notre Dame defense. This is going to be a little bit shorter section because a couple things. Number one is there's some guys that aren't going to be here this spring. Not many, but a couple that we're going to have to really see what they do in the fall. But more so because the defense is already pretty good. And so in certain areas, it's kind of like, well, you know, what's your focus this spring? Okay, our focus is on making sure that we, at the beginning, maintain this level here. And then build on it. So for the most part, the Notre Dame defense played championship football last year. Even in 2022, when it wasn't as good of a defense, we've talked about this, they still held Ohio State to 22 points. They still only gave up 19 points defensive points to Marshall. They only gave up, 16 points to Stanford. Like in all but the USC game, the defense played well enough to win every game. Didn't play championship football, but they played well enough to win. And in the last 2 years, I would argue there's only really twice that the defense didn't play good enough to win. And that would be Louisville this year in the second half, and then last year against USC. You could talk Clemson this year. A buddy of mine had mentioned the Clemson game. They didn't play great against Clemson this year, but they, in my opinion, they certainly played well enough to win. I mean, because they scored 31 points. I get that. But seven of those were off the offense because they had a pick six in that game. They had another drive that was only a 41-yard touchdown drive. That's all they needed because of a shanked punt or something like a short punt plus a return. And then you had a muffed punt that allowed Clemson to get a field goal drive where they didn't have to gain a single yard. I mean, you held Clemson to 285 yards of offense and 4.1 yards per play. I'm sorry. That's good enough to win. And how many possessions in a row in the second half? They gave them, six straight possessions with a chance to tie, and the offense never got past midfield. So I think they've played well enough to win. The question now is, number one, maintenance. This spring is maintenance. It's about making sure that Xavier Watts doesn't have a drop-off. Benjamin Morrison doesn't have a drop-off. Your D-tackles don't have a drop-off. You're not overloading those guys with work this offseason. You know, Jack Kaiser doesn't have a drop off. You're making sure that you're maintaining that, those areas. And then there's other parts of it that, you know, you've got to develop some other younger players. And that's a lot of the focus is going to be on in this section, is about developing the question marks that you have. And then there's one area that I really feel like the defense has to do better. I have questions about, can younger players execute certain things the way that the veteran players did? But within that, you also have to understand Al Golden and his staff developed a culture last year that is pretty good, and attention to detail that was excellent last year. So even though it may not be as good this year because you have younger players, the foundation has been laid of why it matters and that you have to play that way. So I think that part of it is pretty good. And I'll hear people say in the chat, run defense. And that's not really the focus in the spring. And it's the end game is that, but that's not the focus. And we'll get to it.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
So what is the focus? So offensively, we talk about fixing issues. Defensively, it's more about enhancing strengths and making sure that you don't take steps back because of departures. Okay, so let's get into some of those things. Number one focus this spring is going to have to be on building the safety depth. More than any position, this is the greatest unknown on the Notre Dame football team. Because yes, and I don't know that we're talking about this enough. Number one, yes, I understand why there's a level of expectation at safety because we think of Xavier Watts. He was an All-American last year. He's a great player, great leader. He's back. I expect him to be every bit as good as he was this past season, if not better. Now, the stats may not show it, but he's going to be excellent. And so your goal with Xavier Watts is just let's not make sure we don't have him regress. How can he regress? Okay, he cannot work as hard. Not worried about that because Xavier's hungry. It's more so about, okay, let's not overload him. Let's not make sure we have him risk to injury. Let's not put too much on him responsibility-wise. And he now has to, you know, he can't play within the structure because we're asking him to do so much and he can't execute him as high of a level as he did last year. As long as you're not doing that, then he's going to be fine. But outside of it, some big question marks. And one of the things is you went out and got Rod Hurd to hopefully battle there. But he's not – two things about Rod Hurd. Number one, he played nickel, so he didn't play safety at Northwestern. Now, the way he played nickel is a lot closer to how Notre Dame uses its boundary safety, than which is what I think he'll play because Xavier Watts is the field safety. But it's closer to how Notre Dame uses their boundary safety than it is to how Notre Dame uses their nickel. You don't see Rod Hurd playing a lot of man coverage the way that they use their it's coming downhill. It's being, I mean, he had 80 plus tackles last year. He didn't have 80 plus tackles last year because he was getting, you know, because he was getting beat a lot in coverage and man to man and had to make a bunch of tackles. That's not why Rod Hurd had a lot of tackles last year. He had a lot of tackles last year primarily because when he did give up completions, a lot of times it was short, it was zone stuff where he was letting them catch the ball and then you just drive down on the ball. And so there was a lot of that to it. So when you look at the way that Rod played last year, he gave up 44 completions, but which is a lot. But if you watch it, it's like a lot of that stuff was kind of in front of him. And, you know, he's dropping on the ball because they had him playing more as like a downhill zone player than a man player. So that's a big part of it to understand how he's used. Well, that's more about how Notre Dame uses their safeties than it is anything about his ability to not cover. Does that make sense? So you look at like Thomas Harper last year, gave up 26 receptions. And you look at Clarence Lewis last year, who was the other safety, gave up 14 receptions. So Notre Dame's nickels gave up about 40 catches last year. Not all of those were outside because Clarence Lewis gave up a couple outside. But last year, when you look at Thomas Harper, he played 246 coverage snaps. And Rod Hurd last year played 414 coverage snaps. So there's also a lot of opportunities. The point being, the transition for him should be somewhat smooth. But guess what? We don't know that because he's here, but he can't practice. And so that leaves a question mark. I think that's a great opportunity for Notre Dame. Rod Hurd's going to be a fifth-year senior next year. He's a smart kid, tough kid, good athlete. He's going to be at practices and meetings. He just can't practice because he's still enrolled in Northwestern. But as Marcus Freeman said, him and Bo Collins are living here, which means they're doing a lot of online courses. And then for Rod Hurd, if there's something he needs to do that's not online, he's 2 hours away from Northwestern's campus. He can get over there and be there for him. So when you look at Rod Hurd, you think he's going to be there in the fall, but this opens up an opportunity for the young players to step into that void and play. Because here's the deal. If Rod Hurd is everything the Notre Dame coaches hope he's going to be, and he's a starter, and he's a very good player. He's a better version of DJ Brown, which I think he certainly can be. And DJ was steady last year, but there were some limitations. I don't think Rod has as many limitations. It's just about can you be a steady? We'll see if he can make that transition, but he was for Northwestern. And as I said, I don't think it's a huge transition for what he was asked to do at Northwestern to what he's asked to do in Notre Dame. It's not like Sam Hartman changing offense. This is a completely different thing on how it's going to be you. But even if that happens, the reality is you can't play two safeties all year. This is especially true in this era where you need to play 16 games to win a championship. You can't play Xavier Watts 1,000 snaps. You can't. He'll wear down. You can't play Thomas. You can't play Rod Hurd 1,000 plus snaps. You have to be able to have a rotation. Now, against Florida State, you may play them almost the entire game. But in a lot of the other games, you need to be able to have that rotation. And so even if Rod Hurd and Xavier Watts are everything we hope they're going to be, the young players have got to step up. And we don't know if they will. There's some talent there, but we don't know if they will. There's a lot they're going to have to learn. This is a big spring for Don Shuler. You know, not from the standpoint of if he doesn't do it now, he'll never do it. No, he'll have plenty of chances down the road to do it. It's a big spring for Don Shuler because they need him this year to play. They need a Don to help this year. They need him to take that step. They need him to take full advantage of all the reps that he's going to get because Rod Hurd's not here and because DJ Brown has graduated and because Ramon Henderson transferred. They need him to take full advantage of that. I think he can, but we need to see it. That needs to be a major point of emphasis for Mike Mickens, for Marty Biagi, and for Al Golden. major point of emphasis. But he's not alone. And another guy that I've got my eye on that I think they really need to make sure that they're spending the time needed to get him ready to play is Luke Talich. Now, they got to be a little careful with him because he's coming off the shoulder injury. But to me, Luke and Adon are very unique players. They can both play boundary. They can both play boundary. I think Luke can do some things center field wise that maybe Adon isn't quite good at. Adon can do some things coming downhill, taking on blocks. Maybe he's a little better than Luke is in these areas. But the fact is, they need both of those guys to step up and play. I think Luke gives you some field boundary potential that maybe where Adon is more of a true boundary safety. Luke gives you more field safety potential. I think I said field boundary potential. Field safety potential that maybe Adon doesn't. So it's better if both of them step up. But that's got to be a big priority for the Notre Dame coaching staff this spring, is getting those guys. And then there's Ben Minnick and Kennedy Urlacher. But the reality is safety is such an important part of this defense. And I was talking to a buddy of mine last night, and this is kind of one of the things that kind of popped in my head as I was, figuring out my topics for today. We're talking about the safety position, and it was a very steady position last year, a lot of the year, because you could get away with just playing Xavier and DJ a lot. And then when Ramon did play, you kind of mask him a little bit and hide him a little bit. Now, you couldn't against Ohio State, but, you're in a situation where usually you could. It was a steady position for Notre Dame overall. There were some issues at the other safety spot athletically at times. Ramon Henderson was a liability at times. You still had some good moments. There's a chance the safety position takes a step back this year. And that's not good, because you couldn't afford to take a step back from what it was. It was where it needs to be minimum last season. You need it to be better. The question is, can it be better? You're going to have a lot less experience, but I would argue you're going to have more range and athleticism as a group than you had last year. Ramon Henderson was a very good athlete. He didn't know how to play football. He was an instinctive football player. DJ Brown was an instinctive football player, but he didn't have the athleticism. To me, Adon and Luke have both. They have both traits that need to be good. So to me, a big part of this spring isn't, we talked about those guys needing to step up, but it's also from a coaching standpoint, you've got to make sure you're doing what you need to do to give them every opportunity. So, Marty Biagi spending the extra time. Mike Mickens especially spending the extra time as a position coach. But Al Golden and Marty Biagi also both need to help Mike Mickens out in this regard, because there are so many young guys. Mike Mickens has to make sure that he's getting the nickel position where it needs to be. He's getting the young corners where it needs to be. He's got to figure out how they're going to replace Cam Hart. He's got to get Christian Gray going. He's got to make sure he's getting Benjamin Morrison ready to rock and roll, right? So he's going to need help there. Any DB coach who's got the whole five positions is going to need some help there when you've got young players. So that's where Marty Biagi comes in. But that's also something that Al Golden's going to have to take a little bit of attention to as well, because they need that position to be really steady at the very least this season. Because if there's a lot of mistakes being made at the other safety position, guys, I promise you, good offensive coaches are going to be able to look to say, hey, listen, it may not be A&M, by the time you get to Jeff Brohm in Louisville, by the time you get to Mike Norvell and Alex Atkins at Florida State, definitely by the time you get into the postseason, those coaches on offense are going to be good enough to say, hey, listen, I know some ways to get that matchup that we're going to like. I broke it down on the board. Mike Denbrock will be able to do it. And so there's going to be others as well. They're going to have to figure that out. The other part too, somebody just said they like to play three safeties a lot. That's not really part of the equation here, because they have that position kind of solidified with Jordan Clark. That's a different conversation. I'm more talking about the back end, the back two safety. So you're correct, Joe, in that they do play three safeties a lot. Although I think Mike Mickens would like to go to more of a three corner look as opposed to three safety look. We'll talk about that another time, but that's more so the nickel spot. What we're talking about here is the two back end guys, which is a very important part to this whole thing. They got to be able to figure that out. And so when I look at this defense, that's my biggest personal question. Number two for me is actually not linebacker. I'll get to that in a minute. But the other focus that I have this spring is about the edge. You've got some big shoes to fill at the field end position. You've got two completely different dynamics that Al Washington and Al Golden have to address this spring. the field position, it's about, we got guys we like and that are talented, but they're having to replace departed players who are very productive. I've got to make sure that this group can step in and you know, RJ, you got two guys learning the position to a degree. RJ Oben is coming in from Duke. He's played field end, but they used him a lot differently than Notre Dame uses their field end. So that's part of the conversation. Josh Burnham played a little bit of that last year, but he's primarily a Viper. He's got a lot to learn about that. He's going to be putting some weight on. You've got Bryce Young coming in. You've got some other young players. You've got to figure out, how do I get this new look group to play like last year's group and hopefully better? So that's one of the question marks that he's going to have to figure out this year. And, you know, here's the thing with Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Was he a great player last year? No. Is he irreplaceable? No. Can you replace his production? Yes. But here's the thing. I'm actually not overly concerned about whether or not Notre Dame can replace the production of the group from last year. Here's the thing about Javonte Jean-Baptiste, to me, that is why he was such an impactful player. He just seemed to be – his production came at times like when you needed it most. Man, you need to stop right here, man. You just got to – somebody's got to step up and make a play, and a lot of times it was Javonte. Or, man, somebody needs – you need to come out in this USC game and set that tone early. Well, who had the early pass rush that forced the sailed throw that resulted in Xavier Watts picking it off? Pretty sure it was Javonte. And so it wasn't just the numbers. I mean, 10.5 tackles for loss and 5 sacks. All right, great, fine. I mean, that's good production. That's a good year. But as I've said to you before, stats can be hollow. And I could point to guys that had 10 tackles for loss and 5 sacks and say, yeah, they weren't that great. But when you look at Javonte, it wasn't the production so much. It was the clutch manner in which he played the game and the dual threat nature. He was good against the run and good against the pass. So it's the production they can replace. No doubt that they'll replace the production. Can they replace the clutch way in which Javonte played the game? That's a completely different question. The potential's there, but they got to develop it. On the opposite side, completely different issue. You know who your guys are. It's the same guys that were basically there last year. Strobe Patejo, Junior Chiamaka, and Boubacar Traore. You had all three of those guys last year. The question there isn't who's going to play. You know the contenders. It's not, gee, they don't have experience. They do. The question is, can you get that group to play better? And look, if everybody on defense just plays, the returners, just plays the same way they did last year, even RJ Oben and Josh Burnham just kind of give you what they gave you last year, and Rod Hurd just kind of does safety like he did nickel, and Christian Gray and Jade and Mickey just do what they did last year, right, which is pretty good. If everybody does better than, as well as they did last year, take the mic conversation out of this. Everywhere else, if everybody just does what they did last year, but Jordan Patejo and Junior Chiamaka and Boubacar Traore all step up and take their games to a higher level, they're going to be better on defense. Just by that, if that's the only big jump we see from anybody, Morrison's the same guy was last year. Xavier's the same guy was last year. Kaiser, same guys last year. Riley Mills, Howard Cross, same guys last year. Jason Onye, same guys last year. If Patejo, Tuilamaka, and or Traore all step up and play the way that we know they can, and they flashed at times, especially Jordan and Boubacar, then you're a much better defense because you'll have a legitimate pass rush at that position. And that's going to be a big key. And I've heard people make excuses for why Junior wasn't better last year. Oh, they didn't ask him to pass rush a lot. No, yes, they did. That's just not even remotely close to being accurate. They asked him, he absolutely was given plenty of chances to rush the quarterback last year. It was just about him not playing well. And he's going to have to play better if Notre Dame is going to have the kind of defense you need to play at an incredibly high level. Like, look, last year, Jordan Patel had 227 pass rushes in 13 games, and he had 18 total pressures. That's it. If you project his total pressures and you give him the number of snaps that Isaiah Foskey had last year, he's still almost 10 pressures behind where Foskey was. He'd had 25 or 24 and a half, go one of the two ways. And Foskey had 33. Now, Foskey only played 12 games last year. And the other part of it is Junior wouldn't have had as many Jordan wouldn't have had as much contact on the quarterback as you saw from Isaiah Foskey. And Isaiah Foskey wasn't even great last year. So to me, the fact is the success rate, whether you want to look at total numbers, per snap numbers, any of that stuff, wasn't nearly good enough compared to where it needs to be. And if you look at his numbers and you compare it to what Foskey was in 2021, which I felt Foskey was a better player in 2021, his production would have been a lot less. He would have only had 22 and a half tackles for total pressures compared to 32 for Foskey. So either way you slice it, he wasn't good enough. Can he be good enough? Yeah, he can. Jordan Battelle has shown he can take over games. He can be an impact player. Can he do it every week? Probably not. Can he do it more than he's done in the past? Absolutely. And so what Notre Dame needs from him is to be a steady player week to week, be steady, and then have some flashes in there. Now, here's the thing about Jordan. If you were to ask me what player has the potential to take over the clutch role that Javonte Jean-Baptiste had, I would actually say Jordan Battelle has the ability to be that guy. RJ Oben can, sure, Josh Burnham. But if you can get Jordan to be the guy that we know he can be, he could actually be that as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing that and to seeing what he's going to be able to do. So there's plenty of talent. It's just about, can you get the play where it needs to get to, and can you get it consistently? Next piece, we've talked a lot about this spring. I don't need to rehash it a lot, but you're going to have to get the linebackers to grow up in a hurry. That's got to be a major focus for Al Golden and Max Bulla this spring. Now, the good news is you're going to give them a ton of reps. They're going to get a ton of reps because you only have, I think, 8 linebackers on the roster. Just as a fine number for a team who only plays a 3 linebacker defense only half the time. And, you know, last year, for example, the nickel played more than the Rover last season from a snap standpoint. So it's really 2.5 positions. 8 people is plenty for that. Get to 9 and feel comfortable, but 8's plenty. But you're not going to have Bodie Cahoon and you're not going to have Teddy Rezac this spring, which means a lot more reps for the other players. So the good news is they're going to get a ton of work. They're going to make lots of mistakes early on. You kind of accept that. That's part of the learning process. But the hope is that they can kind of grow up quickly, learn from those mistakes quickly, learn the defense, learn the checks, learn the calls, get the communication down, start making more plays. Because I'll say this, Drake Bowen and Jalen Snead or Jaden Osbury, either one of those two guys, if they're the starters next year, they're not going to be as consistent as Marist and especially J.D. Bertrand were. But what they can do is potentially make more plays because they're just more explosive athletes. And to me, they have a little bit better feel for the game than Marist overall. Although there were certain areas where Marist would really flash. But there's potential to keep the thing rolling a linebacker. But the spring is going to be important for that, is really laying the foundation for that and putting in the extra work and saying, hey, this is a point of emphasis. We have to get this group ready to play. They have to step up. They have to be good. They have to get where they need to get to. That's going to be a big, big part of it. Here's the final piece. And here's really what's going to tell us. Like, as I start talking about things that need to improve, you had people say the run defense needs to get improved. I think Michael Park said that. He was right. The run defense has to get better. There's no doubt about that. You had somebody else chime in, and I'm going to find it. Jimmy Page chimed in and talked about pass rush. Trainer Nick talked about sack production. Those are all fair things, and I would argue, I would push back on the sack production. That's a whole different conversation. I've had this before. I don't care as much about sacks as other people do. I don't not care about them, but you could be a much better pass rushing team and your sack production doesn't take a big jump. But the thought process that I think Trainer Nick has in making that comment is accurate. You need to be even more disruptive, especially consistently. All those things are true. But there's something at the heart of that that is more important than just saying run defense. Because when I think run defense is about, okay, you know, have the right calls, you know, be better with your block destruction, you know, be assignment correct, do all those type of things. And that's fine. Pass rush, you know, design more blitzes. But there's something at the heart of this that if it doesn't get fixed, I'll say fixed, it doesn't need to get fixed. It was good. But if there's one area on this defense that I think can get better, It's the physicality. And to me, that's at the heart of a lot of this. And one of the things that, I thought about last year's defense is last year's defense, to me, was a big jump up from what it was in 2022. And especially a jump up from where it was in like 2021. For several years, the end of Clark Lee's tenure, it was true to a degree in Marcus Freeman's tenure, and it was true in the first year of Al Golden's tenure. One of my biggest concerns is that Notre Dame's defense stopped being a really physical defense. When you think back to the 2017 and 2018 teams, the thing that always popped out is you had guys that would hit. You were usually the more physical football team. I even think back to the 2020 team, which wasn't even super physical, but I remember watching the defensive line that year thinking, boy, they're really taking it to Alabama. They are fighting their butts off. And so, you know, but that wasn't, it wasn't consistent enough. But I did think that 2020 team was one of the few Brian Kelly teams in his last 3 years that actually had some physicality to it. The 19 team didn't. The 2021 team certainly didn't. That was one of the, I don't want to say softest, but how do I say this without it? Because I've told you guys before, I hate the word soft. If I'm ever going to use it, it's meant to be it's like a sting. Like I'm really trying to challenge you. They just weren't physical. They just didn't have that edge. You started to see it a little bit last year, but even then, how many of the wow, what a big hit that was. And you're not going to have as much of that as you used to because, I mean, you look at some hits from, I think I've told the story before, but I remember a few years ago, somebody put like a Sean Taylor highlight clip together on Twitter of all his big hits at Florida, at Miami. And I was like, targeting. And he'd have been kicked out of every game because of the new targeting rules. And to a degree, I like some of it. To others, you know, I don't. But here's the deal. It's not so much, and somebody asked a good question, Michael Johnson said, is it because the linebackers are smaller? No, it's not that, because it's not so much because I think one of the more physical players they had last year was J.D. Bertrand. It's not so much that you're delivering the punishing tackles like Manti had or like Zeke Mata had or like Harrison Smith had. It's not so much that. It's more of a – it's like, are you really playing the game with the utmost ferocity? Are you a team that really comes out and just, I'm going to try to kick your butt every single play? And to me, they didn't have enough of that. Even on defense last year, I mean, you've got the moments where that was true. I thought the defense was as physical as I think you can be for the first, except for the last drive where they went away from, you know, they went into prevent, did all that stuff. I thought they were very physical against Ohio State. There was tons of pads popping. I thought, you know, and some other, I knew Duke to a degree, but there were other times when you're like, hey, man, this team's really playing physical football. NC State really playing physical football. When you like a look at the Louisville game, the defense didn't play bad against Louisville. But did you watch that game and really think, man, this team's real physical today? When they played Clemson, did you come out of that game thinking, you know, they didn't play great, but boy, they were physical that game? No, you didn't. It was, you know, they're flying around, but this team just wasn't really, it's an attitude, it's a demeanor. Now, here's why I'm optimistic that this is going to get better. Because you don't go from like 0 to 1,000, like, you know, 100 just like that. It's a building process. And Al Golden has got to build this into his football team. And you've got to be in a situation where you got to start somewhere. And I really feel like they started to get that more last year. Now you've got to take it to another level. You've got to get back to being, hey, again, there's part of it's like weight room strength, and part of it is getting bigger. You know, Drake Bowen's going to be bigger than J.D. Bertrand and that type of thing. But it's also a lot of it's about just your attitude, your demeanor, your desire to just, I'm going to fight you every single snap. And I thought Javonte Jean-Baptiste is a guy that did play with that last year, which is why he won so much. But not enough guys did that. Now you're going into year three of Al Golden, Marcus Freeman tenure. I expect and hope we'll see another jump. So, again, they laid the foundation last year. Now I want to see another jump. And the thing is, you're going to be a little bit bigger this year. You know, Rod Hurd's going to be stronger than DJ Brown. Drake Bowen is bigger and has more natural power than JD Bertrand. But again, it's not so much about that. That helps, but it's about your demeanor, the way you play the game. Are you catching blocks or are you delivering blocks? There were times last year, even Howard Cross and Riley Mills, as good as they were, would kind of come off and absorb contact instead of constantly delivering contact. It was a lot of that kind of stuff. And that's something that I think, if anything, that would be my biggest big picture focus if I'm looking at this defense. There's a lot of issues that got to get fixed on offense. Defensively, it's just, you know, clean up this, develop this young talent, the guys here, make sure your stars are, you know, still being stars and all that kind of stuff. And you return three All-Americans from your defense. It's more so, can we take, and again, it's not that they were soft or weren't physical. It's just they weren't physical enough. Like, here's a perfect example. I watched Michigan on defense, and I don't think they're way bigger than Notre Dame. And they are kind of up the middle, but I think Notre Dame's D tackles were very good. I mean, they weren't bigger at safety than Notre Dame. They weren't necessarily that much bigger at linebacker than Notre Dame. And it really comes down to, you know, like Junior Colson checked in at 6'2", 238 at the combine. You know, Maris Leafau at the combine checks in at a little over 6'2" and about the same weight. I'm pulling up now. Yeah, 234, about the same weight. Maris is longer. But it's more so you watch Junior Colson play, and then you watch Maris play. And Junior Colson plays with a level of physicality every single snap. Maris shows flashes of that. Did Michigan have stronger players? Maybe. Or is it more about they play with a different type of demeanor, a different type of attitude? They wanted to punish you. Are we trying to make stops, or are we trying to make stops while physically dominating you? And I think that's the next step for Al Golden's defense. And I'm sure he wants to get there. I'd be surprised if he didn't want to get there, because that's part of football. And again, this isn't about knockout blows. This isn't about safety coming across and you lay him out. This isn't about de-cleating a running back. I mean, those things will be manifestations of this. It's more about just, we play harder than you every single snap. The 2012 defense was all about that. We're going to outfight you, outhit you, outwork you, outleverage you, and just out-hustle you every single snap. Can this defense get there? They took a step there, but there's a long way to go. And to me, that's where I want to see this team get to. I want to see this linebacking core being more like Drew Tranquil and Tavon Coney, right? Just physical, take on blocks physical, arrive at the ball carry physical, get through the line physical. I want to see this D-line play more, just more ferocity, more physicality. Those are things that I think are missing. Now, okay, what does that mean? Well, I mean, it means you have a better attitude. And when I mean attitude, I don't mean like they had bad attitudes. It just means like just the attitude of your team, the attitude of your defense. You have a different attitude. You attack a different way. You wear teams down more. You're better in the fourth quarter, especially because Notre Dame's got such great depth that they can just throw waves of people, waves. We can play 5-6 D tackles, play 5-6 defensive ends, we play 5-6 linebackers, can play, you know, 4 safeties, can play 4 corners, can play 2-3 nickels. They've got the kind of depth to do that over the course of a 16-game season. But it comes down to, it's more of an attitude and a demeanor on how they play. Can they get to that point? That then does what? What does that mean? Okay, you have highlight reel hits. Again, no. It means we're better in the run game because we're forcing you to go back more. We're wearing your linemen down, which means we're going to get more tackles for loss as the game goes on. We're going to get more stops in the fourth quarter. It means that physicality can be the difference between you getting a pressure on the quarterback or you getting a hit on the quarterback. It's about finishing better at the ball carry. It means the 2-yard gains turn into minus ones, right? The pressures, the hurries turn into hits on the quarterback. The pressures that result in incomplete passes result in hits on the quarterback, which result in interceptions because the ball floats up in the air, right? And then that does what? When you are smacking running backs, when you're smacking receivers, when you're just beating them up, I'm not talking about laying them out hits because you may get thrown out for targeting in that case. I'm talking about I am just physical off the line. I'm physical in my routes. I'm physical taking on blocks. I'm physical getting the football. after a while, team just gets like, man, I'm tired of getting hit. I'm tired of getting, like, you know, mentally you're just, all right, I'm tapping out because I'm just tired of getting hit in the face. I don't want to get hit in the face no more. You know what I mean? And that's really what it comes down to. And that makes you what? Better. It makes your pass rush more effective. It makes your run defense better. It makes you get more negatives, right? More tackles for loss, more sacks, more batted passes, more interceptions, more fumble recoveries, right? Those are all aspects of a team that's got athleticism, that's got talent, that's coached well. Taking that next step attitude-wise is a lot of times the difference between you being a good defense or a great defense. What was the biggest difference between the Notre Dame football team in 1988 between the football team that was that Notre Dame had in 1987? Well, it was basically the same guys, right? I mean, it was basically, you know, your 87 team, who'd you even lose off of that team? You lost Cedric Figaro. That's about it, right? It was the same players. Figaro. Off the defense, you pretty much had the same guys coming back. You know, you had Arnold Ali was a freshman, but for the most part, it's the same guys. They were better because another year in the system under Barry Alvarez meant they played, I'm talking about offense or defense. But the next year, they now had a better understanding of what Barry Alvarez wanted. The guys were a year older in the system and all those things that are true of this team. But you go back and watch film of that 88 team. You go back and watch film with a 93 team compared to the 92 team. The biggest difference on defense wasn't that they somehow had better players. It was those teams played with a different attitude. The 2012 Notre Dame team did not have the talent of the 2011 Notre Dame team on defense because you had the same players you had in 2011. Your only newcomers were, what, Sheldon Day, Kavari Russell. You lost Harrison Smith. You lost Darius Fleming. You lost Robert Blanton. You lost your Jamore Slaughter, like, what, the third game of the year. The difference is the 2012 team played with a different attitude. They were more physical. They were more hungry. They had more fight. They had more determination than the 2011 defense. So, again, it's not so much talent. It's about attitude. And that's something that I'd like to see this team take another step on. And I think that they do, again, because last year was about learning the system and still learning what he wants and all that. That's now a little bit more established. You're a lot more experienced up front. Now it comes down to, can you raise how you play the game to a higher level of physicality and ferocity? If they do that, that's what I think it takes for this defense to take that next jump and go from being a really good defense that's a top 10 defense to a truly elite, dominate games week after week defense. If you look at the statistics, Notre Dame and Michigan were very close this season in a lot of statistics outside of run defense. You know, very similar. Notre Dame, I believe, averaged more tackles for loss per game. Notre Dame's scoring defense was very close to Michigan's defense this season. Michigan led the nation at 10.4. Notre Dame was at 15.9 against a harder schedule, if we're being honest. You know, Michigan was first in the nation in yards allowed at 247. Notre Dame was fifth in 276. Michigan, Michigan ranked number four nationally in yards per play allowed, 428. Notre Dame was fifth at 444. You know, there was a lot of areas where the Notre Dame and Michigan defense were very similar statistically. But when you watched them play, you could sense something different with Michigan. There was a greater consistency. They kind of brought it every week. They shut teams down every week. And you say, well, how are the numbers so close? It didn't feel like I was explaining this to a friend. He's like, well, Michigan had a much better defense than Notre Dame. Okay, how? He's like, well, they were better here. I'm like, well, statistically, that's not true. It really came down to feel. And what he was feeling was not an emotional reaction. As he watched Michigan and he saw a team that every single week was just going to be the toughest team on the field. Every single week. That was not always true for Notre Dame, even on defense. And so to me, both sides of the ball, that all, because we're kind of talking about this on the offensive side. That's what it comes down to. Are you the most physical team on the field on this Saturday? Because here's what I believe wholeheartedly. Notre Dame is never going to be on the field this season, the regular season, where they are just out-athleted on that in that game. That I believe that about Florida State. I believe that about Louisville, Texas A&M, USC. There may be teams that have better athletes here, but Notre Dame's going to have better athletes in certain positions as well. They're not going to go into games and say, hey, they've got more skill than we have. Regular season, There's not going to be a game where you say, hey, boy, that coaching staff has just run circles around our coaching staff. Shouldn't be the case. What it's going to come down to is, are you getting the best version of Notre Dame physically every week? Because if you go back and watch the 88 games, and look, some of the old timers like myself and the other people in the chat, let the younger folks know, there were plenty of games in 1988 where Notre Dame didn't play well. They weren't sharp offensively, missing some throws, you know, given not running the ball like they should, giving up a couple big plays here and there. Didn't play lights out on defense the way that you think they should, but you know what they did every single week? That team played hard. They were always the most physical team on the field every single week. That was true of the 1993 team as well, except they got after Florida State. But that team came out every week, and whether they played well or not, they were the most physical team on the field. When you combine that with the athletes that they had, because that was a very athletic Notre Dame team, Rocket Ismail, Ricky Waters, Mark Green, Pat Terrell, Todd Light, that was a very athletic football team. Michael Stonebreaker was a great athlete at linebacker. Stanson Magala was a great athlete. Yes, they had the athletes, but they were going to be the more physical team on the field. And that's why they were kryptonite for Miami. Because one of the most underrated aspects of those great Miami teams in the 80s is people think of the athletes. Miami had athletes, athletes. But you go back and look at the NFL drafts, and you will watch games of Miami in the 80s. And the reason Miami beat Florida State so often in the 80s is because Florida State could match them athlete for athlete, but Miami was always more physical than Florida State. They could match Michigan's physicality. The thing that hurt them against Notre Dame is that Notre Dame was the only team that could play Miami and beat them up in the trenches. What was the other big game that Miami got smoked in? It was in, what, 92 against Bama? Because that Miami team went against a Bama team that had some dudes in the trenches, and Bama was able to hurt them there. Notre Dame could do that back in the 80s. They've got to get back to being that. And it's not about being the biggest. Chris Zorch was far from the biggest defensive lineman. I mean, if you go look at Notre Dame's offensive line and or defensive line and the size of their D-line compared to Miami's D-line, they didn't have this massive D-line like they kind of had in 2012. They played with an edge. Chris Zorch was undersized even for his era, but nobody was going to outwork him. Nobody's going to outfight him. If football was a street fight, Chris Zorch was undefeated, right? Because he was never going to lose the fight. And that's where I think there's a level that this team needs to get to. And it's not about being bigger, stronger. Yes, you want to maximize your strength program. And last year you kind of went through the season without a strength coach, really. That's not going to be the case this year. Stronger, yes. Endurance, yes. But it's an attitude thing, folks. That's what I'm getting to. It's an attitude. And if they can get that on defense, that to me is the missing link between them being a really good, you know, top 10 defense and being an elite. This team, hey, you know what offense doesn't have today? No problem, because this team can't score on us anyway. So y'all, you need to do, hey, guys, just get us a 20. Get us a 20, 24. We got this, okay? And that's the thing where Notre Dame is getting closer to that, but they're not there yet. And I think this part right here could be a big part of that, be a really big part of that. And I'm looking forward to seeing that hopefully manifest in the spring and into the fall. So that's going to do it for the defensive breakdown. I'm going to get into a couple things next here about the ACC and Notre Dame. But before we do, folks, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, give us a 5-star review. And as the people in the chat are telling you, you're missing out if you're not on the message board at boards.archbreakdown.com. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.